on that report, I heard that she had a bruise on her face.
You say that they have taken the other children away from the home. Do you know why the children have been taken away from
them? Abuse and, I think, either neglect or endangerment.
Now she says she running. Don't care where she going. Long as she stay two steps ahead of them monsters. Say she gon' keep running. But them monsters faster than lightning, baby. No, you ain't gon' outrun them. Now he say he running too. Don't care where he running to. All he know is them monsters can't catch him if he stay on the move. So he keep it moving. But them monsters faster than lightning, baby. They catch you, don't care how fast you moving.
This child did not even have love from her own parents.
They didn't have a good relationship. What do you mean? What happened?
How could a mother or grandmother turn their back on their own child? Ralph pretty much ignored Aaliyah. She was like a pain in the butt to him. She was left seen.
We all want answers. Where this beautiful little girl went missing to? Was he in trouble?
He's great. For family.
Oh, he met his father. He didn't really get to have too much of a relationship with him.
Relationship with his stepdad.
At first we got along, but then when he and I got more and more into our addiction, Colton probably thought that that good.
I
tuned out.
Do you think that Colton was upset about this drug and alcohol use? Did he ever confront you or talk to you about these things?
One time. And I lied. That was one of our last conversations.
Yeah, they say they running. Careless where they going.
Hello?
But all I know is we gotta bring them home so them monsters can't harm them. Cause I hear it storming. And if monsters faster than lightning, baby, they may not have till morning. Let's bring them home. Gotta bring them home. Cause I know ain't no good gonna come looking for them. So let's bring them home. Gotta bring them home.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. The holidays are right around the corner, and speaking of which, we have an amazing event that's going on in Fayetteville, North Carolina, on Thanksgiving Day night. We are going to be having a concert, DJ, vendors, and we're going to be joined by our guest speaker, Robbie Wells, which is going for the 2016 presidential candidacy. And you are all welcome to join us. We're going to have great music, great fun. PPP Recovery will have a booth there, and there's going to be lots of food and games and fun, and I enjoy you to join or invite you to join us out there. We have several different exciting things coming up with our program right now, and several events that are going to be coming up through the holidays to help our veterans and their families to have a better Christmas. One of our things that we're doing right now that I'm very happy about doing is called Operation Blessing Bag. Operation Blessing Bag is where you can grab a Ziploc bag in your home, go through, get those little shampoos and conditioners and razors and other things and put them together in a Ziploc bag and send them to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a team of people go out and hand these out to our homeless veterans. And if you'd like to start Operation Blessing Bag up in your community, let me know. Let's make this nationwide. Let's do something and bless our veterans for those things that they have done for our country. Tonight, we have an exciting show. We have special guests tonight, Kevin Williams' mother, Ursula, and then, but first I'm going to be bringing on the show, I'm going to be bringing Sherry Wood onto the show from Hub 911, and she's going to be joining us probably more than just tonight, but she's going to be on the air right now. But for our event tonight and what we're going to be speaking about is missing Chief Kevin Williams. He went missing on May 28, 2013 from the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, Florida. He is 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, with black hair and dark brown eyes. Tonight is going to be a very intense show. These families both love him very much, and we are going to be speaking with his wife, and we're going to be speaking with his mother on the first section of the show. But first of all, I would like to welcome my very special guest onto the show tonight, and I'm bringing Sherry onto the line with us. Welcome, Sherry, and welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you, Rachel.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. You know, I've been following your page on Facebook for quite some time on Hub 911, and you have several law enforcement agencies and firefighters and other EMS involved in your page. Can you tell us a little bit about Hub 911 and what you're doing with it?
There seemed to be a need to bring all first responders together, and there was no other site like it. So I started this one, and the response has been really good, really, really great.
When you say you need to bring all the first responders together, why are you bringing them together, and what's it doing for them right now?
The public safety sector has always been rather divided between fire and law and EMS. Even towing isn't considered a first responder, but often they're the first to respond to an accident. So, like I said, there's no other site like it, and it's an informative site for all agencies across the board, even the U.S. military, Coast Guard, search and rescue, Homeland Security, everything.
You know, I get a lot of people suggestions. I don't know whether I was put on the admin on that page or what, but I get a lot of, I see a lot of people coming towards that page and asking to be part of that page. What, since you started Hub 911, what kind of experiences have you had, and how has it been successful for you?
I've interviewed a lot of great people on it, met a lot of great people, Karen Pete with Baby Safe Haven. I've heard about Baby Safe Haven before. I interviewed her on a blog, and since I did that blog, 1 week later she was picked up by 2020 News, and it was able to inform people throughout the nation about her cause and what she stands for. Another person I interviewed was Tommy Giorgio, and he was a Vietnam vet, and he came back to New York, and he was in EMS in Harlem. His blog is amazing because he saved many people's lives, but he was never recognized for it. So from the blog, he got some recognition, and he was able to receive the Silver Star, which about 45 years later.
Isn't that amazing? I'm highly impressed. And I watch the articles in there, and I see the camaraderie and how people are coming together, and they need that safe haven to come to on Hub 911 and talk about those things. And I noticed also that you also list any of our fallen brothers and sisters in law enforcement.
Yes, that's important, too. It seems we read about them in the news, and we don't want to talk about it. So to bring it to the forefront and make it an issue, then people will comment on it.
And what brought you to your interest in law enforcement and bringing them together for firefighters, EMS, law enforcement, military. What interested you in that, or you in that? I'm sorry. Long night tonight.
My dad was a fire chief in a very small town for 25 years. And growing up, I saw the camaraderie around just a little station. But it becomes a niche, and people throughout Michigan or throughout the United States, if you're a firefighter, you know other firefighters, and you understand them, and they're part of the brotherhood. And then now my brother's a police officer and a firefighter, so he's a first responder. My other brother served in Iraq. He's in the U.S. Army. So it was throughout all of that that there was all these sites that were separate, and there was none that brought them all together.
And how long ago did you start 911 or have 911?
Started about 2 years ago.
And how many people do you have involved with it now?
I have Dan Height, who I interviewed also. He was an EMS also in Harlem. Tanya Hartman is involved with it. Karen Pete, we talk quite often. Dorian Kramer. The hits on it grow daily. I remember when I started it, and I was lucky or happy if I got 5 hits a day. And the other day we reached over almost 7,000 hits.
And is that 7,000 hits total or in one day?
In one day.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. And with people, and when you say hits, for those people that are on Facebook, that's how many people are asking to join the page, correct?
No, that's separate. The hub911.com, the analytics, I can see how many hits I get per day. And 7,000 people hit on the hub in one day.
So we actually have a website.
Yes.
Can you let us know what the website name is?
It's hub911.com.
And when people go to that page, what can they find on that page that will help them and to assist them or somebody they may know?
They find a lot of blogs. They find a lot of information. There's forums. There's any law enforcement, fire and rescue, EMS, and towing company can link their site here for free. So it's very informative. Like if you go to Michigan, you can search the fire rescue of all the companies in Michigan. The same with law enforcement, EMS.
And it's not just in Michigan. You have it nationwide now, correct?
Yeah, it's actually going worldwide. I have some other Puerto Rico, Uganda. There's a couple countries on there that wanted to be listed on there too. Canada, we're getting pretty big in Canada.
And Sherry, what is your goal? What is your ultimate goal with Hub 911? What's your goal with this?
I want to bring everyone together in all these emergency situations. So there's one site that they can go to find information.
What about adding like an Amber Alert or something like that to it? I mean, that would automatically put it out to all those law enforcement agencies that you have.
Yes, and we do work with Steve Popick, who runs the Amber Alert page on Facebook.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's great help.
And I'm sorry, I totally cut you off, but you said that you wanted to, with your goal with pulling everyone together, you were talking about FEMA. Could you talk more about that?
Well, after after the hurricane in New Orleans, it just seemed that everything was so scattered and websites were going down, even now with Obamacare, the website. And there's never really a website that would continually be up and be helpful for people. And so I'm hoping to address that need with this.
That'd be great. And then people can go in and learn about Incident Command Center. They can go into FEMA training, online training, do the NIM systems, and maybe work through that with forums and stuff. That's just amazing what you're doing, and we really appreciate your service. And you're doing this as a volunteer, correct?
Correct.
That's amazing. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience tonight?
No, just the hub911.com, and if you want to join our Facebook pages or groups, it's the hub911 and there also.
Okay, great. And again, give us your link and your Facebook page so that people can come back to it and join up with you and see if we can't get you some more people on that page and unite law enforcement, EMS, and fire, and even our military services.
It's the hub 911. As you go into Facebook, you can search the group.
Okay, and that's HUB 911. Thanks, Sherry, so much, and I look forward to having you on the show with us again, because we want to kind of extend things on to go on the air with you, and we will be talking to you very soon about doing that. I look forward to talking with you, and I appreciate you coming on the air tonight, and thanks for all your help and everything you do.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It was fun.
Okay, have a great night.
You too, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, that is Hub 911, and that's Sherry Wood, and she's just an extraordinary lady. Very nice. I've talked to her, and I'm part of Hub 911, and I thought that it's a very important program for those law enforcement agencies out there to unite and work with each other. And you can go to HUB911.com and join up if you're in the EMS world and be part of the forums and be part of the learning and training. Without further ado, we need to get right into our story tonight because of the fact that it is a very long case. And first of all, we're going to be speaking with Kevin's mom, and I'm going to bring her on the show here momentarily. And we also may be having some of Kevin's families to call in and talk about Kevin. And first of all, I'd like to tell you about Kevin, and I, without being disrespectful by all means, his name is Chief Kevin Williams of the U.S. Navy, and he went missing on May 28, 2013 at the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, Florida. He's 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, with black hair and dark eyes. I know I said this before, but some people are just tuning in. We'd like to have everybody tune in and change. You can take this URL after the show and share it with others. We need to put some pressure on this case, folks, because we need to bring Kevin home or Chief Williams home, excuse me, and his family deserves answers. If this was your family member, you'd want me out here pleading for you, and I'm pleading for the Williams family tonight. And we need to bring him home, or we need to give this family some answers. He's been missing since May 28th. Chief Williams had car trouble, and his wife, Vanessa Williams, picked him up after dropping his car off to get it worked on. They went to the Avenues Mall to buy a dress for their daughter, and they had been in an argument according to Vanessa, which is his wife, and she said, stay here, I'm going to go into the mall. When she came back out, Kevin was gone, and his cell phones, everything, still in the car, and he vanished. And law enforcement and the Navy investigators, they're all just really confused about what's going on here. But tonight I want to shed some light on this from the family. And right now I'm going to bring on Kevin's mom, Mrs. Williams. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Williams.
How are you tonight?
It's nice that you came onto the show, and thank you for taking the time out to come onto the show and talk about your son. We all know him as Chief Kevin Williams, missing out of Jacksonville, Florida. You know him as a young boy growing up, and you and I spent some time on the phone today. And I am so intrigued and honored to know you. And I'd like to know about Kevin as a young child. And, I mean, he grew up in he was born in Trinidad. And you raised your children as a single mother. And you raised him
That's
as a single
right.
mother. And could you talk to us about Kevin when he was born and you know, tell America what Kevin's about?
Kevin was his sweetest kid out, a very nice kid, quiet, no problem whatsoever. And Kevin will never, never walk away from his family and his job like that. He will never do that. I don't understand it.
Sure.
It has me in a way that already skinny, I get more skinny. Because I cannot eat properly and I cannot sleep properly at night. Because I miss my son, not hearing his voice, not seeing him.
And
no one disappear from the face of the earth just like that and leave everything behind.
No, ma'am.
Something is not right.
Well, can we back up a little bit here? I want people to know, Kevin, not just missing Chief Williams on the flyer. Talk to us about Kevin growing up and some of his interests and the things that he did. Tell us about Trinidad and the country he was born in.
Oh, Trinidad is a very nice country. It's summer right through the year. And when Kevin was a child, you can talk to him, but he very quiet. He hardly used to talk. He always, you know, he will play with his brothers and he will talk to his brothers and they. But if you, as a stranger, don't talk, tell him something, he will not tell you anything. He will just stand and look at you. That's the type of child he is. Never in no kind of fight or nothing. No argument. He will not argue with anyone. He will walk away from you.
How many brothers and sisters does Kevin have?
Kevin have four brothers. Three brothers, Lester, Nigel, and Cohen. He has three brothers and one sister. His sister lives in Trinidad, which is my daughter.
And
Kevin
is
he's not. All right.
Is he the oldest of the kids?
No, he's my baby.
He's your baby.
He's the last one. He's my baby.
And tell us, you were telling me today, and this is so interesting. Tell us about you moving from Trinidad to the United States with the kids. Tell us about what happened.
I came first with my big son, and then I sent for my rest of children. I sent for them, and I take care of them here by myself.
And
I worked very hard.
You worked and you raised all of these children on your own.
Yes, by myself, and even children that is not my own.
And what did you do for work?
I work in a hospital, Bernard Feinstein retarded system. I work there. I work with the state, New York State, for 21 years. But I work other places before. I work in a lot of people's homes in order to survive.
The hard worker and
to
raise
your
children. Yes. And as Kevin was growing up, you were telling me how you were the neighborhood house, how everyone came to your house. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. His friends came to my house, his school friends, when he was going high school. Kevin came here when he was 14 years old. He went to Jamaica High School, graduated from Jamaica High School. Then he went to college, Queensborough College, for 3 years. And the last year, Kevin joined the Navy and finished his college education in the Navy.
And what interested him in going into the Navy?
What made him go into the Navy? Because his girlfriend was pregnant at the time with Kevin Jr., my grandson. And that is why Kevin joined the Navy. And he loved it. And now his son wants to join the Navy. His son
and
is 15
son
years old.
Oh,
he wants to join the Navy now.
And how old is Kevin Jr.?
He's 15 years old.
How is he
And when you look
his...
at him, you see in Kevin.
Oh. And have you talked to him since Kevin went missing?
Oh, yes. I speak to
and
him.
How's he
I speak
doing?
To his mom all the time.
And how's Kevin Jr. doing since his daddy went missing?
Well, he's in New York. And I is in Providence, Rhode Island, but I speak to them on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I am moving Saturday, and I'm going to New York, and I will see him.
And how
he
did
had
he react?
He
how
did not
he react
talk much, neither.
Oh, so he's really shy and really reserved as well.
Yes, he's quiet, very quiet.
When Kevin Jr. found out about his father missing, what was his reaction?
Well, I wouldn't know what his reaction is because, look, this I can't go into that.
I
cannot go into that right now. No.
Okay. Let me.
I
want to ask you. I can totally understand that. This it's very emotional for us to talk about this.
Yes, it's very emotional. I cannot go into it.
Let me
and
ask you.
Anytime I start talking about my son, I just start crying. Because
and
it
as
hurts,
every mother one.
It hurts so damn much. It hurts.
Oh, my gosh, honey.
Nobody knows how it hurts. I make him. And I wish somebody knows something about my child. Please say something. Please somebody say something. I wish somebody knows something about my son.
You know, I hope that this show tonight, we're able. I know that they were supposed to do a press release in Florida today, and I'm hoping that someone
I don't think
they're
doing enough to find my son. My son never hurt no one. He never hurt no one. He loved his job. He loved his family. He never hurt no one.
And
why would he disappear like that?
That's true. I don't believe he did. I don't believe a Navy chief's going to walk away after 14 years of his career. I mean, that's very difficult to believe.
This year make it 16 years my son on his job.
16 years makes this year. Okay, 16
yes.
years in the Navy. He's one of our warfighters. He's one of our American heroes, and he served our country, and he's one of us. And he has served for our country to protect our country and its freedoms. And we need
How
to figure out where he is.
How come nobody not signing nothing? Nobody not saying anything?
Yes, ma'am.
No
when
one
did you
saying anything.
When did you find out about your son missing?
About 2 days after. Because
and
his wife didn't call me and tell me anything. She called my big son in Maryland, and she told him, and my big son called me. Because when Kevin Boss tell her, why did you call his mom? Oh, we do not get along. That have nothing to do with it. That is my child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how she angry. I don't care a damn. That is my son.
And so Vanessa
he have
did
a
not
mother.
Call you directly. Yeah.
He have a mother. He have brothers. He have nieces. He have nephews. He have 7 aunts in this country. 7. No, 1 living in Trinidad. 6 living here in America.
And
everybody
is
worried.
Yes. And it's affecting all of the family very drastically.
The whole family is affected. My nieces,
and
my nephews, my great nieces, my great nephews, everybody is affected. All his friends. Everybody, because everybody know Kevin. Everyone know Kevin.
And he had a lot of friends, too, and at your house, correct, right? Does he have a lot of friends in New York area or Rhode Island area as well?
Yes, he have his friends that he went to school with. He have his friends.
Have
his cousins,
do they know
everybody.
About him being missing? And they know he's missing?
Yes, they know he is missing. Everybody know he is missing. Everybody in Trinidad know he is missing.
And when you were told
when his
about
father, when his father called me, his father can't even talk on the phone. All his father doing is crying. He's the only child his father have. He do not have a next one. Kevin is the only kid he have.
When you were called by your son and told about Kevin missing, what were your first thoughts?
I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to think at first. But when you sit down and you start thinking and you're putting things together, you know that it's not your child. Your child wouldn't just walk away like that. I know my son. I know my son.
And
when come to life, when come to working to get what he want, I know my son. I know my children. They all working hard for what they want. Everybody.
Now, your son's been in the military for 16 years this year. What does he do in the military as a chief?
He used to recruit.
Okay.
He's
and he enjoys his job. He likes his job.
Because when he was going to school to be a chief, he called me. He said, Mommy, so-and-so, we talk on the phone. We talk.
Was it hard for Kevin to communicate with you from Florida?
Yes.
And why is that?
We used to talk on the phone, but we mostly talk on the phone when he's not in the house.
When he's not in the house.
And I don't know why. We will hold long conversation when he's not in the house. If he's driving,
so
going to work, he will call me and we will talk on the phone. When he's coming home from work, we will talk on the phone. And as he's reaching the driver, he said, Mommy, I get home now. I say, okay, son, I love you. Talk to you soon. I always
and
tell my children I love them.
That's great. And,
always tell my kids I love them. I don't care how old you are. I love you. I make you. I carry you 9 months. I make you. Kevin was so spoiled. Kevin breastfeed up to 5 years old, you know.
And you were raised in Trinidad yourself. And, I mean, your story is just amazing. And walking to school 6 miles every day and back home.
Oh, yes.
And I mean, very
miles,
strong
that was
background.
That was nothing.
And then coming to America
you're
and raising your
country,
kids.
In a country like that and you walk into school 6 miles, that was nothing. You enjoy it.
And what is the difference between Trinidad and America when you brought the kids over here? Was it shocking to you, or did you enjoy
it's a big
it?
Difference.
What was it like?
Because
and
when I bring them here, I put everybody to sit, and I talk to them. I say, you all didn't born in this country. You come to this country. And I want everybody to do something with their life. You're not coming in this country, a strange country, to just sit back. I say no. Everybody have to find something to do and everybody have to go to school.
Mm-hmm. And so your other boys, what are they doing now?
They all married and they all working and they all have their family. I do not interfere in my children's life at all. That is something I do not do. I do not interfere in their lives.
And has it hit them, like, really drastically since Kevin has gone missing?
What did you say?
Has it affected your family extremely hard since Kevin has gone missing?
Yes. Yes.
Do you seem to be more drawn together?
My children are very quiet. They hardly just talk. My kids hardly talk. They are very quiet.
And are they quiet because they don't want to talk to each other, or they're just holding this pain
no,
in right
they're
now?
No, they're naturally that way.
And so
they're quiet,
they're just holding
nice
a lot of pain.
Kids.
So when you found out about Kevin missing, what was told to you about how he went missing?
Well, I didn't get no good information. They say he just disappeared from the mall. And I say nobody cannot disappear like that in America from the mall unless somebody kidnap him.
Did you talk to Kevin that morning? Did you talk to Kevin that morning?
No. I didn't speak to him that morning. I didn't speak to him about a week before.
A week before?
Yes, before he disappeared. 1 week before he disappeared, I speak with him.
And
he was going
to
work, and I speak with him.
Did he appear happy, or what was it? What did he seem like when you spoke to him?
Well, when Kevin talking to you on the phone, you never know if Kevin's sad. Because he will talk to you like if everything is all right. Whatever going on in his home, he wouldn't say anything to you. He wouldn't say nothing to me. He will talk to his big brother mostly, you know, because he know I will get angry.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't tell me anything. He will tell his big brother. And he didn't tell his big brother anything.
He hadn't talked to him.
No, Kevin don't want nobody getting in his family life.
Right. And Kevin's
that's
always been
life.
That way. That's his nature. Right.
Yes, that's right. His way.
In fact, when you were talking to me today, you said that, I mean, I don't know if you feel comfortable going through this or not, but you were telling me that it took a while for you to find out that Kevin had even been married. Did you want to talk about that?
No, I wouldn't talk about that.
Okay. You don't have to. I just thought that was very interesting that it took a while for you to find out. And I know that there's animosity going on between you and Vanessa, which is Kevin's wife, so we're going to have her on in the second part of the show.
Yeah.
But I want to give America and those listening, and, you know, even if Kevin's listening or those that are responsible for what's happened with Kevin, I want you to be Kevin's voice tonight. Now's not the time to be quiet anymore. We need to be Kevin's voice, and we need to talk about Kevin, and we need to let people know who Kevin is and why he's so needed by his family. I know that you were talking. He's got cousins and aunties. I bet you do.
I miss my son. Not hearing my son's voice. I miss my son. Even though I didn't see him often, but we used to talk.
And Kevin was always there to help you as well, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. If I need help, I call him and I ask him for help. He will help me.
And,
I do not call my children for help often. But if I need it, I will call and ask. And they will help. Each one of them. All of them.
Oh,
not
that's
only
great.
Kids,
you raised
all
them.
Of
they
them.
Should. That's great. And as they should. I mean, you raised them. You're a single mom. You raised them and worked hard to make sure that they got the wonderful things that they have in their lives. And Kevin went into the Navy. He's now a chief, and he's a recruiter. And it sounds like he's made a very successful life for himself.
Yes.
And he goes missing from the mall. What happened? Did you guys go down? Did your family go down to Florida to look for Kevin? Or what has happened?
Yes, I and my son was down there, Nigel. I and Nigel was in Florida giving out flyers, going all over the place asking people. I was down there. All in every airport that I go in, I give out flyers. Every airport that I go in, I give out flyers of my son, and I'm explaining things to people.
So you're a great voice for your son. That's good. When you were down in Florida, how long were you there?
I was down there for about 2 days because I couldn't stay down there longer.
Right, you do have to work, and you have to make sure that you pay your bills, too. That's very difficult. But
no, I couldn't stay in the house, in my son's house, longer. I could not stay there.
Why could you not stay
there?
And
I didn't have money to stay in a hotel or someplace. So I have to come back home.
You say you couldn't stay in your son's house. Why is that?
No. Not what he thinks his wife saying I couldn't stay there because all she talk about is money. I couldn't stay there. I couldn't listen to that because it was sending me crazy.
My husband and
all you're talking about is money. People could always work and get money.
I didn't mean to open that wound. I didn't mean to go into that. You were there two days, and you've been in contact with the detectives and everything since he's gone missing?
Yes, since I come back, yes. I speak to a lot of detectives, a detective from Trinidad, a detective from Florida. I speak to a lot of detectives.
Has there been any sightings of Kevin or any possible sightings of Kevin?
No, everybody telling me they don't know anything as yet. But I don't understand it. Chief of the Navy, and you're telling me all you can't find nothing as yet? Going on 5 months? Just now will be 6 months?
You know, we've heard rumors about him being on a bus heading north in North Carolina.
I don't believe
all.
My child
like
wasn't astray. He wasn't that type of person. I don't believe those things. And he take a cab and he go and he buy juice. And I don't believe those things. I don't believe those things.
Now, did they
check
the records?
One minute they see North Carolina. Just because I have a cousin living in North Carolina, they're saying they see him in North Carolina. All that is lie. I don't believe those things.
Mm-hmm. What, if you can do something tonight, if you could say something to America tonight about your son, what would, and if Kevin was listening right now, what would you say to him?
I'll say, please, anybody out there who knows anything, please, somebody call, somebody say something. Please, this is a human being. This is a nice human being. Never hurt no one. Please, somebody say something.
And if
please.
You could speak to your son, if you could say something to Kevin tonight,
I
what would you say?
I love you, Kev. Kevy, I love you, honey. Wherever you are, please give me a call if you can make it. If you can give me a call, if you don't want to call me, call one of your brothers, call one of your aunts. You have a lot of aunts in this country and everybody worried. Call one of your cousins, Sheldon, call Mikey, call Casey, call anybody. And somebody going to answer, please. We all love you. Call us, please, wherever you are.
What
honey,
do you feel?
I love you. I love you, Kev.
Oh.
Kev,
what a great mom.
Please call your mom. Please call me.
That's your heart.
I miss my son. Please call me, Kev. Please.
Honey, what are you doing now to help yourself get through this with your son being missing? Do you have a support team or anyone helping you?
My children, my family, my nieces,
well, we gotta get
my sisters, my family.
You got to start eating, though. You got to get yourself strong so when Kevin comes home, you're strong.
I'll
you
be
have
strong.
To do that. You got to
keep Lord
that. You are one
strong.
Of the loudest people
strong.
I've met. Yeah.
I'll be strong. I can pray. I'll be strong.
What do you believe has happened to your son?
I don't know. I cannot say. My son is a very strong, intelligent person. Only way for somebody to overcome my son, it had to be 4 or 5 people. Or they had to drug my son. They had to do something very bad to him. Because Kevin could defend himself. Kevin is not stupid. But somebody knows something. Somebody knows something.
And what would Kevin want right now? If Kevin had a voice right now, what would Kevin want? You're his mom. Tell him.
Kevin would want to be with his family. Kevin loves his daughter. You hear? And Kevin will never walk away from his daughter. Never, not in a million years. He will not do that.
Yes, and it sounds like she's just really destroyed, and so is Kevin Jr. and all of you, and this is very devastating on you. Is there anything else that you'd like to say tonight? We do have some people that are calling in, and I do want to bring them on the air. And let's do that, and then I'm going to get a final note from you. Okay, I'm going to sound off the last four numbers of your phone number. 1568, you're on the air. 1568, you're on the air with us. Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, and what is your name, please?
No, this is Emerson you're talking to still. Kevin, mom.
We've got more people coming on the line, too. I'm calling out the last four digits. Hi,
hello?
How are you tonight? Yes.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, what number you called here just now? What is the phone number
yes.
you called?
I did not. You're called into the show to the Bring Them Home Now show for Kevin Williams. I guess you're just listening to the show. We'll let you go ahead and listen in. I'm gonna pick up number last four digits of 1755. You are on the air. 1755. Welcome to the show. Good evening. Welcome to the show. Sometimes people will call into the show and they'll just want to listen to the show, and that's why they don't answer when I pick up the line. I want to ask you one last question before we go over to Vanessa. We're going to go over to Vanessa for the other part of the show. What would you like to see happen right now? I know you'd like to see your son found. Do you see the family pulling together and doing and working this out so that you guys can find Kevin? What do you see? What do you think
yes,
should happen?
I tell you, I'm moving Saturday from Providence, and I'm going to New York, and then we all going to get together.
Good. And what are your plans for the holiday right now?
I have no plans.
Well, I wish you well, and I definitely want to
and
have
And I will
a
tell you something.
Show.
With my son now. Missing, I even forget my son, Cohen. His birthday was the 19th of October. I forget to call my son to even wish him happy birthday. I forget to call my big son to wish him happy birthday. I forget to call my children to wish, and that is not me. If it's Lester's birthday, I will call all my children and tell them, look, Ollie, don't forget today is your brother's birthday. Give him a call. Kevin's birthday, I'm telling everybody the same thing, all his brothers and his sister. Call all your brother and tell him, happy birthday, today is his birthday. Don't forget that. I forget to call my children to wish them happy birthday. I do not forget that.
I hope and I pray that something comes out of the show tonight or that it leads to something tonight in order for you to find answers for what's happened to your son.
All my co-workers are still calling me from where I was working in the hospital. My co-workers have called me, unless you hear anything about Kevin, because they all know Kevin. Kevin worked in the hospital with me. They all know him.
When he
was going to college, he used to work there part-time for the summer.
He worked very hard, didn't he?
Volunteer for a whole year in the hospital. This is not a child what running and drinking and drugging. No, my children do not do that. That is why it's so strange for my son to just disappear like that. No, he didn't disappear like that. Somebody knows something. somebody knows something.
Yes, ma'am.
Nobody disappears like that. Somebody knows something.
Well, Mrs. Williams, we're going to have you back on the show for an update show, and we're going to definitely get people working with you. You have a lot of veterans and active duty military, and this is a warfighter. This is a brother in arms, and we all need to look for Chief Williams. You've heard his mother tonight on the air. The last half of the show, what we're going to be doing is speaking with Vanessa Williams, which is Chief Williams' wife. And we may have another couple people come on the show as well. Mrs. Williams, thank you. I know it was very difficult for you to come on the air and speak with us tonight. I know that it's heart-wrenching, and you're having a very difficult time in your life, and we would all be praying for you and looking for answers for your son to come home soon. And we pray that he comes home safe to you. Thank you for being on the show.
I do not wish this on my worst enemy. I do not wish this on my worst enemy.
I'm sure.
I wish this on no mother, no parent. I look at people on the television and seeing how they're crying and missing their children. I couldn't believe this would happen to me. In a million years, I can't believe this would happen to me. I cannot see my son.
It happens 2,400 times a day in America that we have heart-wrenching stories like yours. And it's unfair, it's wrong, and, you know, people take liberty with other people's lives that they have no right to.
I find the Navy should be doing more than what they are doing.
True.
Because if my son had blue eyes or green eyes and is Caucasian, they would have done more than what they're doing. They're not doing enough to me. They're not doing enough.
Well, hopefully tonight, now that the nation's doing it, and we're at the end of the show, we're definitely going to give the detective's name and phone number in which people can call and demand that they step up this case and make things happen.
I don't think they're doing enough.
Well, you know, in defense of law enforcement, they can't wave a wand and make answers appear.
I know. They have to investigate.
Sure.
I know they have to investigate.
And their investigation is only as good as what people cooperate.
Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the waiting that is no good.
Sure, ma'am. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for being on our show, and we will keep in touch with you, and we'll keep up with you on what's going on with Chief Williams. And what an extraordinary mom, and you have really enlightened us about who Kevin is as a person, and we're going to get the second part of that on the second half of the show. But first, we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we will be speaking with Vanessa Williams, which is the wife of Chief Kevin Williams. Thank you, Mrs. Williams, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Attention, all active or retired military personnel, veterans of any age, government civilians, battlefield contractors, and family members. If you or a family member are suffering mentally or emotionally as a result of service in battle or the stress of war, but you're hesitant to reach out for help, go to www.patriotoutreach.org for completely private and confidential materials that will provide proven coping strategies that will help you overcome stress, anger, pain, or even PTSD. There is no cost for this private service. Go to PatriotOutreach.org. Seeking professional help is always advisable, yet there's a strong cultural resistance to admitting the need or seeking help itself. If you or fellow soldiers suffer with feelings of isolation and anger, there's no need to struggle alone or without help. PatriotOutreach.org is a valuable tool. It provides completely private, simple, non-intrusive support. Confidential, effective, powerful. Check it out. It's private. Go to www.PatriotOutreach.org.
And we're back on the second half of the Bring Them Home Now show. And tonight is exclusive. Missing Chief Kevin Williams out of the U.S. Navy, missing from Jacksonville, Florida. He walked away from a mall and no one has seen him since. And it's very confusing. There's lots of rumors going around. There's lots of things going on in the case. But in defense of law enforcement, the law enforcement investigates, but they can only come through an investigation with what they know and what they find out, and with the cooperation of family and friends and coworkers. So it's very difficult when someone vanishes. No, they don't vanish. There's something, somebody knows something about what's happened to Chief Kevin Williams of the U.S. Navy. And if you weren't here for the first part of the show, I'd like to give a description of Chief Williams. He went missing on May 28, 2013 in the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, Florida. He's 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, with black hair and dark brown eyes. Tonight, we are going to have his wife on the air with us. We just spoke with his mother. And right now, we have on the air with us Vanessa Williams. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rachel. Good evening, and good evening to everyone out there that's listening. My name is Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
Vanessa, you know, you probably heard the first half of the show with Kevin's mom and how distraught and very hurt she is. And, you know, I've spoken with you several times. You and I, you've spoken with me several times on Kevin's case, and it's been very detrimental to both sides of the family. We talked to Kevin's mom about him growing up, and you've been married to Kevin for how long?
We've been married for 13 years.
13 years. So that's a long time. But you married him when he was in the military, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can you tell us Can you tell us a little bit about you meeting Kevin? When did you meet him?
I first met Kevin in 1995. We worked at the LaGuardia Airport together, and so it's pretty much over 18 years that I've met Kevin. He was a handsome, you know, at the time I'm like, okay, he's handsome, and we just became the best of friends. You know, he was my best friend at that time, and I just love him, told him everything. He told me everything. He was, you know, just my buddy.
And Mrs. Williams was telling us how quiet Kevin is and how reserved he is. Did you find that difficult with starting a relationship with him?
Well, you know what? He totally... At the time, I'm like, you know, he is different. But, you know, to me, you know, as to a man, to a woman, I don't know him like his relatives does. I mean, he approached me. He came up to me. He's like, you know what, you're beautiful. And he introduced himself to me. So, I mean, he is quiet, but he have a... a very, you know, that man that you want side of him. So it wasn't difficult at all.
Sure. And tell us about your life. We have a lot of military families listening tonight. Tell us about your life with your husband as a military wife.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I am so proud to be a military spouse. Having my husband in the U.S. Navy meant the world to us. We support him. When I say we, our family, myself and my two kids, Jamal and Journey, we pretty much was all we had. He just meant everything to us, and we were involved in everything he do. We went through all the deployments, everything, every promotion, you know, every exam, and he did it all for us, everything, you know. So we were very much, very much hands-on, you know, involved in the military lifestyle, especially because Kevin was not involved in any one of his relatives. Didn't, you know, never knew what rank he was, never knew what he did in the military. So, you know, for me, I was that person who cheer him on even more because he didn't have that kind of support, and has his wife and his family, that's what we did. So, yeah, you know, it was...
Well, okay, but we heard from Kevin's mother that Kevin talked to her all the time and that she was close to Kevin, and so what do you mean that they didn't know? Because what I'm understanding is he's very close to Nigel.
It's absolutely not true. I'm here to tell the world, I'm not here to bash Kevin's relatives, but I'm here to tell the world, and as my relatives in New York know, that is not true. Kevin's mom was not close to him. She probably was close to him. I heard before this, you know, before he got with me. But once I moved to Florida over 14 years ago, Kevin's mom gave him an ultimatum. She said, if you marry Vanessa, he went to his mom and he let her know he was totally in love with me and that he wants to be with me and he want to get married. And so his mom told him, if you marry her, I am going to disown you. Kevin then came back to Florida, where we only had my son, who he totally adopted and took into his life as his own child. At the time, you know, that's all we had, Jamal. He came back and he said to me, listen, I can't have a big wedding anymore. You know, I was talking to my aunts and my mom about having a wedding, but he said we can't because my mom has made sure that everybody in the family doesn't like you because she's going around saying that Karen, who is my stepson's, Kevin Jr., mother, that was her girlfriend, his girlfriend, and he left her for you. However, long story short, Karen was never Kevin's girlfriend. I knew Kevin before Karen. Kevin was a young man who liked having fun with girls, and she was someone who, at the time, I believe, I would say enjoyed being with her, you know, and that's what he did. So I have to say it's absolutely not true. And I must say, did they talk?
Go ahead.
I want to say this, Rachel. They did talk.
Yes, ma'am.
But several times, it was always Kevin's mom not wanting to accept me. Now, this man loved me, made me his family. She never wanted to accept me, even though she didn't know me. I'm not sure it was anything personal against me. I think I could have been any girl and she would not have liked me because Kevin helped his mom, and she didn't like the fact that Kevin couldn't help her financially anymore because as much as he could have because he now had a family. So that is just my theory of why I feel she never accepted me.
Now, when you were dating Kevin and courting with him, did she accept you as his girlfriend?
No, actually, I never met her. We didn't have your traditional dating because Kevin and I, when I met him in 1995, we were just two best friends who, you know, love spending time with each other. And just like Karen and him, we hooked up and we had fun. And we weren't officially together. But after his son was born, Kevin Jr., in 1998, about 2 months later, Kevin, we talked every day, actually. But then he said to me, Vanessa, I'm going to ask you for, like, the third time, because he had already asked me three times, please, I'm in love with you. I want to be with you. I want you here with me in Florida. I want to, you know, I just want you in my life. And so we didn't really have your traditional dating in New York. But at the time, I had known of his mother, and she had known of me. I spoke to her one time when I asked her to keep Karen in her house, because Karen was pregnant for Kevin. She was upset because I had to be the best friend to call her about Kevin, who she called girlfriend at the time, was pregnant for him. And Kevin made it clear to everyone that knew him, all his friends, all his relatives, that Karen was not his girlfriend. So his mom pretty much took her in the house, but she was upset that I was the one that called. to give her that news that Kevin was pregnant, that Karen was pregnant. So, yeah, we didn't have your traditional dating. It just pretty much, you know, we dated like that, and then I just flew out. I just came to Florida. He came to New York a few times. He spent all his time with me, and we came back to Florida with him, me and my son. I was totally in love with him. He was in love with me, and we just didn't want to spend our life apart.
Well, and speaking of that, I spoke with Kevin's mom today about the last time she had visited with Kevin, and she said it's been a while and that you and him have traveled to New York, and he didn't get much time with his mom, that he spent most of his time with you and your family, and she maybe got 3 minutes with him. Why is that?
Okay. You know, I totally understand Kevin's mom plays as a mom. I could say I understand it a little bit, and I'm sure in my heart she loves her son. But I have to be honest. Kevin's mom is very extremely just bizarre, to be honest. She just makes things up. She's a pathological liar. I went to New York,
my husband,
and children.
Hold on. We're going to be very careful about how we talk about people and disrespect
them. Okay, Rachel, I'm going to say this, you know. Kevin is my husband.
You're
not
going
to be on the air to have... I am the most important thing to Kevin right now because I'm his family, and I'm here to stand up to the world. I've been fighting for my husband, and I'm not going to let Kevin's relatives get on the air and say things that are untrue and fabricated. It's totally ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I get it. She's his mom, but I am here to speak the truth. I'm not here to sugarcoat anything. And even if I don't say on this air, I will be telling the world forever because it is the truth on my children's life. My mom is on the air. She will tell you this is not a make-believe story. This is what really happened.
True, ma'am. I understand
so,
that.
I'm not going to apologize.
I don't tolerate people on the air calling names. I mean, there's ways of handling
things
diplomatically.
Rachel, you and I speak, I'm very respectful. I didn't say Kevin Mudd is B or she's this. I said she is a pathological liar. And the reason I said that is because I have proof, you know. And when you have proof, that is not name calling. It's a difference between name calling. I'm a very respectful lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've got to understand, too, Vanessa, that there's a lot of people with a lot of raw emotions right now. And there's more than one person missing Kevin. There's his whole family's missing him. You are, they are, and there's a lot of people with no answers. And sometimes when we have that happen in our lives and we have a missing person in our lives, we want to blame someone. We want to be angry with someone. And that never helps. What helps is to pull together as a family and do what Kevin would want all of you to do, to be his voice. And that's my point. I don't know what's going on with his mom and why you say those things. I do know that I've spoken with her, and I have spoken to a woman that loves her son very much.
Rachel,
and
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not here tonight, to be honest with you. My voice is for my husband. And I've had that voice for 5 months, going on 6. I'm here tonight not to have sympathy for Kevin's mom. I'm not here tonight to sit on the phone and listen to how Kevin's mom feel about his mom. I had to sit a whole hour and hear a lot of stories that are untrue. I don't know if anyone in their right mind would expect me to sit on the air and not have a, this is my voice for Kevin. Kevin, right now, wherever Kevin, and I do believe Kevin's mom know where Kevin is, or I've heard of him. That's just my, where I'm here to have an opinion. I'm not here to, Kevin's mother had his saying, and no one stopped her. I am here to get, I am Kevin's wife. I'm not sure how she views that, but I am his wife. We are his family. We are the ones that stand. I don't know what happened to Kevin prior to him being 24 and yonder. But what I do know, that for the past 15 years of our life, that we have been an item. We have been a team player. We have been a team. And I'm here to play at that head of the game right now because my husband is not here. I am missing my husband. There's not a day go by that I don't cry. There's not a day. I'm literally depressed. Upset. My daughter is physically ill. I mean, you have no idea. I'm speaking here. This is my voice for Kevin. And I can tell you right now, Kevin would be so proud of me because his heart would be crying to hear what his mother has said. Because I have proof. I have phone calls. I have everything. On the day Kevin went missing, the very next day, I didn't sleep. I called Kevin's mother at 8 o'clock that morning. I have evidence. She did not answer the phone. I went to the phone, and I called his brother about 2 minutes later. And when I called his brother, I told him what happened. So for me to sit on a phone and have Kevin's mother say, I never call her, that is a lie. So if you want me to sugarcoat it, I cannot do that.
I'm not asking you to, and you know, and maybe that was a miscommunication, that she did not understand that you had called her, and that's. I want to get into the facts of the case. I want to go into what's happened here.
Yes, ma'am.
You are very. I have two very strong women that have been on the air tonight that love this man beyond no means, and you and I have talked several times, and you are passionately working towards finding your husband, and I admire you for that, and you're an amazing woman. And
Thank you, ma'am.
I am that outside view looking in, trying to make sense of this whole mess, as many of people in America right now are trying to do the same. Tell us about the day. Let's back up a couple days before Kevin went missing. Talk to us about that. Lead us into when Kevin went missing.
Okay, we had a tense 2 weeks. I would back you up all the way 2 weeks. So if I back you up 2 days, that's what happened
that's
from
fine.
The tense 2 weeks.
Whatever you need to
we
back
were
it
tense.
Up. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were tense, you know, and the tenseness come from our kid. We have an older kid. His name is Jamal, and, you know, we were having some teenage, he's a difficult child, but he's our kid and we love him. Kevin made a choice to have him. He chose him as his kid. So, yes, we love him, and we were in it for the long run. But, yes, Jamal turned 19, and Kevin felt like, you know what, if you can't straighten up or you can't buckle up, you're going to have to go, you know. As a mom, I tend to hold on in my son, you know, and I guess I really didn't know how to let go. And Jamal was flunking in school and just not making the right choices. So, of course, our relationship was tense because, not because I wasn't exactly mad at Kevin, but I was doing a lot of crying for what was happening. Jamal had moved out. I missed him, and I was just not talking. I was depressed. I was isolated from Jamal, from Kevin and our daughter, Journey. And Kevin was just didn't know how to deal with it because at the time I felt Kevin himself was depressed, but I didn't really look deep into it as I was depressed myself. So, yeah, we had a tense couple of days. And then, you know, May 27 came. That's Memorial Day. I woke up. Journey came to me, and she said, Mommy, my daddy is sniffling. You know, he seems to be crying. And I said, oh, Daddy never cries. He said, Mommy, I know I heard Daddy cry. So I went into the living room, into the family room, and I saw him. And like I said before, many times, my husband don't really cry. He just like, he was just sitting there, but his eyes was red. And he was texting our son, Jamal. Pretty much in the text, I found out after he disappeared, he was telling Jamal to be good to his mom and call his mom and apologize. And he was telling him, you know, because he was sad that he had to hit Jamal for the way he was behaving, and he just felt like Jamal was going in my face. He didn't like it. So, yeah, he did hit him. So I guess as a parent, he just wanted to make sure Jamal make peace with us. And, you know, so Jamal called me to come home that Sunday before Memorial Day. And me, myself, and Kevin went to pick Jamal up. We were laughing. Jamal was talking to Kevin was talking to his son about a car that he wanted. Jamal wanted to buy, and I went ahead and dropped Jamal off to his job, and we came home. And you know, actually, that was the Monday. I'm sorry, Memorial Day. So we came home, and Kevin decided to do his barbecue. He's a great and an amazing griller, and of course, it's always mostly us, and it was just myself, him, and Journey. He went outside. He grilled. My mom is on the phone. I told her, you know what? Something is wrong with the car. And I said, you know, I told him go to a mechanic. We talk about him a little. And she's like, oh, tell him I'm smelling the barbecue. And I go out to the back. He kissed me. We're totally fine now, you know. All the tens from the day before and the past days were just pretty much gone because he had to fast. He said to me, you know, I did take my ring off, you know. I'm not, you know, I'm like, okay. So he got on his knees and he put it on back. He's like, babe, I love you. I can't imagine my life without you. And then we eat his chicken and all the side items, and then we decide to sit down and play Sorry because we love playing a lot of board games. And so that's how we spend the day before he disappeared.
Well, and the you morning, were talking about not. You were talking about not sugarcoating things, so let's not sugarcoat
mm-hmm.
it.
No problem.
You were having an intense moment with Kevin, with Jamal, about Jamal, and there had been some issues with Jamal, correct?
Right. I mean, like every family does have problems. Absolutely.
Okay. So was these issues were they physical or just emotional? What were the issues?
Like I said, you know, it's not that I want to sugarcoat, but I don't want to make this about my son right now. I want to make this about Kevin. But what I can tell you, yes, there were times when Jamal can, you know, he'll drink, he'll come in drunk, he'll act out, and he step in Kevin's face, and he didn't like the way he would talk to his mom, and you know, there's times there were some physical, you know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to make it about Jamal. I'm trying to get the whole picture here because we need to figure out why Chief Williams is missing. And we
well,
need
to know.
Well, I'm not
sure that's
details. Going to
make you figure out, but, you know, I can tell you.
No, but if we have the whole
picture,
if we have the whole picture of what's going on here, then that may help a lot. So,
well,
lead us into the day. That's okay, hon. Lead us into the day that you guys went to the mall.
Okay, so Kevin Carr, from the day before, like I said, he had problems. His car broke down. Well, he left that morning. He was wearing his gym clothes. Kissed me, went, goodbye, babe. All right. 6:30 come, he didn't call me. I finally got on to Kevin about 7, you know, about 6:50 that morning. He tells me his car is broken. I guess I was pretty annoyed. And as I said many, many times before, you know, it's probably not the right attitude I had because we had a great night. But I'm not trying to make excuse. To be honest, though, I had a girly day, and I was just being, I guess my, I was very emotional and my hormones were all over. So I was like, again, babe, like, are you serious? I told you take it to the mechanic. And I guess that's not the response Kevin was looking for, as he was already frustrated, I'm sure. So I went on, I took Journey to school. I went on to meet him. Everything that we went through the 2 weeks before and all the stuff, We kid Jamal name came up, Journey, you know, just family. We started to, I got there, I'm crying, I'm upset, and he got upset, not upset, but he cried because I was crying. And for the first time in my life, I saw tears just pouring down his eyes because I did say to him, you know, I felt like you're not emotionally here and you haven't been here for months, you know. And he said to me, because I had noticed he hadn't been here for months, and I was getting frustrated, but I guess I didn't know how to deal with it. And so that he started crying. He put his hands on the car. He tried to kiss me, and his hands started to shake. So I wasn't sure what to do. I guess I, in my mind, I felt so devastated and sad. I really got scared when I saw him crying and shaking. And so that just made me stop right away. I was just nervous. But and I said, Kevin, you know, just let's go. Let's take the car to a mechanic. And so I followed him with my car. We got over to the dealership, and, you know, the guy, I guess, noticed we were tense, and I decided to say something and make light of it. I gave him the keys. Kevin said, he asked for a number. Kevin said, my phone is not working, but you can have my wife's number. And not working, his phone is dead, his personal cell phone. And during all this, he got a few calls from his job. He made a couple of calls to his job. And I turned to him and I said, okay, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go to work. I need to go to Mayport. That's where he worked, where his office is. And I said, babe, are you sure? You never take the day off. Let's just take the day. Just take the day off. Let's deal with what we have to deal with. And then, you know, you just call them. You know, you're entitled to it. It's a stressful day, and then we could just all go together to Journey, go get her hair done and take her, because she was expected to get an award that evening at the University of Florida for being Florida's top brightest kids. So we left the mall. He said to me, no, I want to go to Mayport. I said, okay. I gave him my puppy dog face, and even though, you know, things were tense, he looked at me, and he said, you're not mad with me no more, babe. I said, I'm just stressed out, babe. And he said, I'll come with you. We went over to the mall to get Journey dressed, which was just 2-3 minutes away. While we were in the car, I started to say things to him and try to talk it out, and I'm saying, maybe because I'm your, you know, first real relationship, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm more mature than you, and because you don't talk, you just keep everything inside, and I try to talk about what's going on, what's really bothering you. And he said, wait a minute, you know, like I bruise his ego. He goes like, are you serious? You're not my first real relationship. I said, babe, so then who is? And he goes like, I don't remember the girl name. He's like, you remember that girl, Rosewood? I'm like, Rosewood, babe, that is just, isn't that the name of a movie? He said, yeah, I remember when I went to see that movie. I said, but if that's your girlfriend that you were so serious with, why don't you know her name? And I think it was really stupid. And he laughed and said, babe, I swear in Journey. And I said, babe, did you really just say that? We made a vow never to swear on our kids. And that was the tip of the iceberg. I got out of the car and I said, you know, I'm just so upset. I don't want to talk about it no more. He said, babe, wait, just let's talk. I said, no, like, maybe you should go back to me, go to Mayport, you know, whatever. He goes like, so you don't want me to come in the mall? I said, no, Kevin. And the man was standing there looking at us. And so at that point, I'm very shy when it comes to, I don't like, my husband is in uniform, so it's not like I was yelling, but I don't want somebody looking like we have a situation. So I walk away, went on to the mall, and that was the last time I saw my husband. As I walk away, he said, babe. And he also had keys to the car. So that was it, last time I saw my husband. Love of my life.
So you both have keys to the car. And
yes,
when you got out of the car, was the car locked or was it unlocked?
You know, I think either me or him went to, I don't remember, to be quite honest. I think, I don't even remember if I locked it. I can't remember. I've been trying to remember that part. I probably could have, or he
driving?
Probably could have.
I was driving. Okay, and when you went back to the car, you went into the mall. Did you get her hair done? Now, you're talking about Journey. Was Journey with you during this time?
Journey was in school.
Okay, so you went to get her dress at the mall for the event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go in the mall. How long are you in the mall for?
20 minutes.
And what did you do when you were in the mall? Where did you go?
I just walk on in there, stop at the front, ask the lady, do I turn right or left for Forever 21? She said, I believe she said turn left. Walk straight and turn left. I did that, went in, got a dress. I was actually in a hurry. So I asked the girl. The girl was trying to help me, told her what kind of dress I was looking for. I picked up one real quick, got at the counter, check it out, and I left.
And what color dress was that?
It was a blue and white dress, which I hate. I hate it because
you hate
of
it?
What happened.
You picked it out, you did. And,
yes, ma'am.
And you were going. You're planning to go back out to the car, and go get Journey to do her hair and those type of things that day. So you get the dress, and why were you in such a hurry? Where did you guys have an appointment, or why were what
to
the
pick
hurry?
Journey up, get her hair done.
And what
pick
time
her,
of day was
no,
this?
No, first of all, this was about. I came out of the mall about 2:40. So my whole thing with your, because I told her I'll come get her at 3:15. And so I wanted to make sure that I get there. But most of all, to be honest with you, I kind of was, like, in a hurry, too, to see my husband again. Because we do that, we argue, but then I walk away and I missed him, you know? And then so when I come out and I didn't see him, it's like, you know, whew, I just thought he left me and went to Mayport.
And how far is Mayport from the mall?
About, I believe, like 30 minutes driving.
30 minutes driving. And how could he go to Mayport if he didn't have a car? I mean, that's a long distance.
Because
he
told me that he was, he told me while we were at a dealership, he said, and they did saw us in camera, this, they didn't know what we were saying, but we were standing up discussing that. He said, I want to go. He's like, I guess I'll take the shuttle or a cab or something. He actually said, take a cab. He said, I'll take a shuttle or take a cab. And I said, that's when I, well, yeah.
What time was that? When you came back out of the mall, what time was it?
2:40.
Okay, so at 2:40 you come out the mall, you find out that he's not there. You have a set of keys to the car, and so does Kevin, correct?
Yeah, we both have keys to each other's car, well, to the car.
Okay, when you came out the mall, how far away from the door was your car parked?
About, I'll say about 7 or 8. I think it was about 7 or 8 spots away.
Okay, so you could look straight out from the door and see that he wasn't there.
Right. I can see he's not, because he have on his camouflage. You know, I don't see that well without my glasses, and my glasses was in the bag. But I can see he's not there. But to be honest, as I walked a little closer, I kind of peer in the car because it has tinted windows. So I looked in because I thought he was sitting in the car.
Mm-hmm. And when you opened the car and you looked in the car, what did you find in the car? Were his belongings in there, or what was in the car?
Well, I didn't look in the car. I've got to look in the car for him. And my first initial reaction was I sucked my teeth. I go, and then I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe him. So I got on my cell phone, and I called his work phone because, remember, his phone was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I called his work phone, and it rang. I didn't hear it ringing in the car, but it ringed. And then it went to voicemail. And for the first time in his career that I'm with him, that I said something that wasn't very nice on his phone. It's not like me, but I did say, you know, I think I said I used a couple of blah, blah words, and like, I can't believe how irresponsible you're being. I have to look for you now, and I'm going and get Journey. So when you find a phone or something like that, call me, and I'll come back and get you or something like that. And then I left a message, and I heard the phone. Dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, the message is going on. And that's when I feel around, look around. His phone is between the car seat.
And which car seat? You've got two seats in the front. Was it by the driver's side or the passenger side?
The passenger side. It was like on the floor between the seats.
And when you went to the car, was the car locked?
I believe I did open the car. Yes, I believe it was locked.
Okay, when you looked in the car, because obviously you heard the phone ring and you found the phone, where normally our military, they carry a bag around with them if they're going to be going to work or have plans. Did Kevin have a bag or did he have anything with him?
Certainly, Kevin walked around with his military computer that consists of his computer, laptop, printer, the whole nine yards, you know, just a set in there. He had that bag in the car. Well, to be honest, I can't really remember for sure if I don't, at some point I looked in the car. I think when it could have been when I didn't get the phone, like, you know, so I think I got out and looked in the back of the trunk. I don't want to, you know, and it's not sugarcoat. That's just the truth. I don't remember.
Why would you look in the trunk? Is it a hatchback or is the trunk a hatchback or what would you be looking in the trunk for?
No, I mean, I physically opened the trunk and looked in the trunk. The reason that I looked in the trunk is because I felt if I looked in the trunk and his bag is not there, then I said, oh, okay. Because I'm thinking he probably went to the mall to look for me too, went inside. So I'm like, let me look and see if his bag is there. And if it wasn't there, then I would say, oh, so he really did what he said he wanted to do, go to Mayport. So that's the reason I look in the trunk. And his bag was sitting there along with his gym bag. Because his gym bag was there.
So everything, all his belongings, everything was there. Was his wallet there?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
I said, was his wallet still in the vehicle?
No, Kevin's wallet was never left in the car. It was never, you know, I can only assume his wallet was probably still on him.
Okay. So you get to the car, you know, you call him, he's not answering the phone. You get in the car, you notice that his cell phone is down by the passenger side on the floor, and you don't remember much, but you remember getting out and looking in the trunk, and his gym bag's still there, and his computer and everything is still in the car, correct?
Oh, let's get this right. I remember a lot. So said I don't remember much.
I'm trying to picture everything that happened.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Okay.
That's
so, and where was his personal phone at?
Well, I didn't know at the time, but later on that night, when I called the cops to report my husband missing at 8:30, while the cop was, I brought the gym bag out to the cop. We took it out. He looked in the bag. He got out. He got a phone call, and me and Journey sitting there, and I'm shaking it because I didn't want to touch the bag until they were able to look through it, look at every detail. So as I'm looking at everything, inside a duffel bag was sitting Kevin's phone because Journey said, I know, Mommy. I can call Daddy. And I said, oh, my gosh, here's his phone. So I went out to the cop and sitting in my driveway, and I showed him. I told him, I didn't even touch it. I just tell him the phone's in the car, in the bag.
And so then you found his personal phone. And what time did you leave the mall after all of this?
I looked around for my husband about, I want to say maybe 2-3 minutes because, you know, I wasn't thinking my husband is missing. So I turned left on Phillips Highway because I was attempting to go to Coggin myself and see if he took the shuttle. But then I changed my mind and I just turned around. I guess I get a little more annoyed and said, really, if I do this, I'm just going to be late for her. So I drove on all the way to, you know, 30 minutes to Journey School and 30 minutes back there. So by the time I got back there, it was about 60 minutes.
So you went and got Journey, and then you went back to the mall to look for your husband again.
Yes, ma'am. I went back to the mall to look for my husband. And then I also, I that's when they picked me up going back in the mall and my daughter, you know, and then I went over to Coggins. Well, I had talked to them, too, on the phone. I spoke this whole time while driving to and for. I was talking to his job. I was talking to Coggins. So, yeah, I was doing that, you know. And so, yeah, when I went to Coggins for sure, we went and looked at the book where you sign up for a shuttle, and he did not take the shuttle. And so,
Ever call his job? Did he ever call his job that day?
Oh, yes. Like I said, my husband left the military. My husband, like, at some point dressed in either in the car or at the place he was, you know, the auto place he was waiting. He literally dressed there because he left with his gym clothes, and I think that's what he told me. He dressed in his uniform in the bathroom or in his car. So he was in touch with his job all day long until 1:30. They knew, he said, my wife is with me. They knew every step of the way where my husband was until the last time he talked with them was about 1:30.
And when he talked to them at 1:30, did he tell them that he wanted to take the day off?
Not that I know of. He talked to them in the dealership, and I didn't hear him mention those words, but I knew he was talking and giving them a heads up of what's going on. And I'm not sure he wanted to take the day off. To be honest, I don't think he wanted to because he's a workaholic. It was a Tuesday after the holiday, but it was his Monday. He had a load of work. He told me that, and he wanted to be there.
But you told me earlier that you talked to him about taking the day off, and he says, okay, babe, okay, we'll do that. Did he not call into work and say, hey, I just need to take the day off?
Well, when I said, he said, I'll do that, maybe there's a little misunderstanding there because when he said, I'd do that, he didn't agree to the day off. He agreed to come into the mall with me. He didn't agree with the day off at all. He just agreed, okay, babe, you know, I got you. I'll come with you, you know. But he never agreed to the day off.
What time does Kevin normally get off work in the afternoon?
Kevin normally get home most nights it's about 9. Sometimes it's about, well, he changed his office, so then it started being about 7, 8 o'clock sometimes.
And what
you know,
time
because,
did he go to work?
To be honest with you, Kevin, it varies. We rotate mornings. On his early days, sometimes he'll leave 3:30 in the morning if you have to take a person down to, you know, to headquarters to have them, you know, recruited into the Navy. But then that's not very often, maybe once or twice a week. Mostly he leave, I'll say he take his daughter to school at least 3 times a week, and that would be about 7:30. He'll
take
her to school.
So what time in the daytime, what time would his day start? What time did he start his job that day? What day was what time was he supposed to be there?
8:30.
He was supposed to be there at 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
Okay, so
but
we're
he
looking
was supposed
at
to
2:40
be to a gym in the morning.
Okay,
that
so but
morning.
We're looking at 2:40 in the afternoon already, and mm-hmm. he talked to his job at 1:30, did not mention taking the day off, but he was mentioning how, you know, what's going on with the car and so forth. But by that time, if he was supposed to start work at 8:30 in the morning, and here it is 2:40, by that time, most of the day's gone anyway. So why wouldn't he call in to work and say, hey, look, it's so late, I'm just going to finish up the day, and I'll be in tomorrow to finish up what I need to do. Why, you know, the day's already gone.
Not in Kevin's world. He is a workaholic. He perfects his work. He likes to be there. When he has 60 days on the book to take leave, he has 60 whole days. Well, you know, they don't take it all at once, but he has so many days on the books, he still don't take leave. He does, I don't know, he's just a workaholic. He just loves getting things done. He just, it's just business as usual with him in the Navy. But I think at some point that day, I think he would have taken the day, he would have let them know. I just have to say this. The bottom line is, I know in my heart my husband has had no intention. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to get dressed in some parking lot in their military uniform, call in all day, go through all that stress, turn down $30,000. $30,000 from the Navy. They offer him I want to make sure I get this on the air. They offer my husband $30,000. It's called a career status bonus. And that means he continues service, give them the 20 years, and upon his retirement, he get a little less because, of course, he take that bonus. My husband have check. He did not accept it. And he would have got that bonus on May 15th, 2013. My husband went missing May 28th, 2013. So I want to get that really clear. And, you know, it's just the facts. It's no way. It is no way. But let's talk. Let's just, I really need to get this on the air.
I want
to
back up, too. I want to back up. You tell me you went into the store and you pick up a dress for your daughter, and you hated that dress. Why? I mean, this is a very special event for your daughter. Why would you pick a dress out that you hate?
Are you kidding me, Rachel? Of course
no,
I hate the dress. My husband, my love, my life, my heartbeat. My heart is empty. This is my love. My whole family is destroyed. We're missing our family, four of us.
Did you
we
hate
are
the,
devastated.
Okay,
That's
no,
why
I
hate
you're
the
not,
dress.
You're misunderstanding my question.
I hate it because I felt like if I didn't go buy it, my husband, you know, it's just some sort of self-blame. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my gosh, I went in for that stupid dress. That's the mind frame and set that I have right now. You know, that's just pretty much as simple as that.
You were telling me, okay, earlier you were telling me you went into the store, you picked out a dress, and you hated the dress that you picked out that you could buy. If this was a special event for your daughter, why would you hate the dress? But why would you pick a dress that you hate?
Okay, that's what I just explained to you, Rachel. When I said that, it might have been spoken all in one, and I'm not like a person who just, I'm not even together right now, to be honest. Every day I'm so mentally stressed out, I'm like all over the place. But what you need to understand, I did not hate the dress when I bought it. I hated the dress after because of the events that happened. And I still don't have my husband with us. That's why, it's just simple as that. And I don't feel that this is important right now. What I need to get on the air.
I feel like it's important.
So you
and
feel
I
the dress
don't.
Is important? Well, I'm not going to talk
every,
about it anymore.
I feel like every detail in this
Are
case
you
is important. No, I'm not kidding
you. But you're forgetting the detail that Kevin jumped in a cab. I was in the last person my husband. Let's not get this twisted. Kevin would jump in a cab. It's in the police report. His name is James Fox, who's a convicted felon. His mom said that she doesn't believe he jumped in a cab. Well, Kevin jumped in a cab. I don't know if he jumped in that cab, but a name was given. This guy has a record. That's more important than a dress to me. That's more important. And the fact that nobody is getting it on the air or in the media, and it's just being covered up that my husband got in a cab. I'm
we're
saying nobody's talking about it. So we're talking about a dress, but are we not? What I need to talk about is my husband got in a cab with a convicted felon. My husband got in a cab. He was the last known person saw with my husband, and I need to get this on the air. Why the United States Navy, why the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is not helping out, and this case is all over the place? Well, for the record, if you have a relative that never have much contact with this man for 15 years, and they're calling the Jacksonville Sheriff, according to the police report that I have, it is in the report, this woman knows something that happened to my son. That's what she said. And if you're calling the Jacksonville Sheriff's Department and you are blaming the wife, how do you expect the investigation to go? They feel like they don't have to do much work because, hey, they say it's the wife. It's the wife. Well, it's not the wife because I invited these people into my home. I'm the one that pushed the DNA. After my husband was missing 145 days, there was still not a kid taken for him. And Vanessa crusaded for it. You know, I am the only voice that's speaking for Kevin. And that's more important than a blue and white dress. And that's why I'm so hurt.
And ma'am, I'm not
because
saying, okay, Vanessa, calm. I'm not saying the blue and white dress is everything in this case, by all means. I'm trying to clear up the facts. And I want to move on from when Kevin, because we want to put this in a series. When Kevin, when you went into the mall, you came back out, it's 2:40 in the afternoon, you know you have to go get his daughter. You notice that your husband's not there. What is the next thing that you think that he's gone to work, you're looking all over for him, you're calling his job. At what time did you report him missing?
I reported him missing at 8:30 that evening, 6 hours after.
I called him about
4:30.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Rachel. Just so you know, I just want to say this. I did call the Jacksonville Shed, the JSO, at 4:30 that afternoon. They told me I have to physically be at my address for them to take a report. However, all this time I'm still holding a strong faith because I'm feeling my husband is going to turn up at your event. He never missed a soccer game. He's never missed a cheerleading game. He's never missed a taekwondo, nothing. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I don't know, maybe just have a moment, he'll turn up. So after, I still put on a face, took my daughter there, and when we come home, because we had to be physically home, I literally left that event early crying. And when I came home, right away at 8:30, I called JSO.
Okay, so we're talking about your daughter was at school. You pick her up. You get Kevin, or you go back to get Kevin. He's not there. You 2 hours later, you're filing a police report, and one of the things, okay, so we know where you guys are. Where's Jamal during this? Where's he at?
Okay, and you're right. That's so important, right? We should address that. Jamal at this point was actually at home the whole time we were in the mall and stuff because Jamal works nights. He flunked out of school, so he wasn't in school. He was home getting ready. Well, he was home lounging and getting ready. Later on, he got ready to go into work for 4 o'clock. So I called my son because Jamal didn't have a car that time, and I let him know, what was going on. I said, I'm going back to the mall for Dad, and da-da-da, you know, heads up. He thought, Mommy, I'll call my friend to come and pick me up. And because I had told him, just 2 hours prior to that I would, when I can pick Jamal up, I can give him a ride, you know. So Jamal was actually, it was verified that Jamal was here. They checked his cell phone records. Jamal later, friend came, picked him up, and he went into work where he worked not too far from our home. So Jamal was at work. Jamal never know his
dad.
Okay,
and we're running out of time, so we've really got to get through this.
No problem.
We have 11 minutes. We have 11 minutes left, and we need to get through all the details. So Jamal's at home. How far is your house from the mall?
About 30 minutes.
Okay.
Because my house is right by Journey School, yeah.
And how far is the dealership from your home?
From, I would say maybe like 30. Maybe 32 minutes because the dealership is right next to the mall, like 2 minutes.
Right. And just so everybody knows, Jamal's not staying with you now, correct? He's not at home now?
I don't think I need everybody to know that, so I wouldn't answer that question.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand. I completely understand. Now, there's been rumors going around that he walked across the street to a kangaroo station and spent money there. Have they got him on video doing that?
Okay, well, I don't know if you can call it rumors. The cameras were not working, but there was some, I know that our bank account was spent in that store. The drink that they described my husband by, he drinks it all the time. It's a Monster energy drink. The manager or the store clerk said after the police showed them Kevin's picture, that's him. He's the only, like, without a doubt, he said, that's him. He came in here. He was wearing that especially what you're showing me, that uniform, that exact, I'm sorry, uniform. So that's how he was identified. And that money was reported by me because we have the same bank account. And then the guy said he jumped into, they saw him talking to a cab driver from A-Team Taxi Service, and he was there, and later on they tracked down that cab. They were able to track it down, and the guy said, my husband paid him $15. The fare was 13-something, and my husband paid him $15, and he just watched my husband walk into the apartment,
mm-hmm.
apartment building, which have like over 300 apartments, so...
Right. And I want to go back, and I know this is upsetting you. I'm trying to understand it, and so are other people. Did Jamal actually go to work that day, or did Kevin actually show up at work that day? Where was everybody at?
Okay, for the record, I don't really want to dwell on my son because I think it's ridiculous. My son actually was at work that day, and I just think it's upsetting, you know, and I'm not like... You know, I'm Mama Bear, and this is my baby. I'm not going to dwell. My son was clear by investigation. He was actively at work. You know, I'm not
okay.
going to be on the air and have Kevin's family all being given, saying all these things about me, and it's going to be about my son. It's not about my son. My son was clear. My son loved his dad. My son, that's his son. Kevin Jr. could never miss my husband the way my son missed him because he doesn't even know Kevin. My husband never had a relationship with this child. Am I proud
okay.
of it? No. I'm not going to
okay.
dwell on
okay.
my son and have, I'm just not
okay.
going to do that.
Right,
it's
and
angry,
we're not
going
to do that about Kevin Jr. either.
Yeah, well,
I need
the world to know. I mean, you know what? Whether I tell it on your show, whether I say it on your, because I feel, Rachel, you're being unfair to me. You let Kevin's family say, Kevin's mom don't even know what a chief is. She said Kevin went to school for being a chief.
Okay,
she doesn't
yes,
even know what her son
that.
Is. She hates my
I
daughter.
I understand that.
She talked all that about Kevin Jr., but she calls my daughter not his child. My daughter's 1,000,000%. Kevin was in court for Kevin Jr. He doesn't even know if that child is his, and I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to stay on the air and let them have their saying. None of them never been to our house. They don't even know where we live. They don't know what he does in the Navy. They don't know because they made a choice.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back
and
up.
That choice
back
was
up.
To...
Vanessa. Vanessa, you say they don't know where you live, but they were at your house.
Ma'am, I need to address that. I invited them into my home. My aunt told me not to let her come to my home because she's very vindictive. But because being the person that I am, all I can think about is my husband. I hugged her. She hugged me and told me she loved me. She came into my house. She said she couldn't stand what was going on in my house, and it was about money. Ma'am, do I look like the person that care about money? I stood by this man for 15 years, ma'am, and I was his right hand, and he was my left, or I was the left, and he was the right. Either way, but I need the world to know this is ridiculous. Kevin's mom is telling lies. She came to this house who she said a person that she didn't like. She hates me because she was upset that we couldn't send money for her and we couldn't do this for her. She said my husband couldn't talk to her in our home. She came here and she goes like, I hate this house. I don't like these yards in Florida. I ignore her. I sit in her face and got smoke in my face and I don't even smoke. All because I was doing it for my husband. I love that man. He is my world and my everything. I don't hate the woman that made him. But I can tell you one thing. That woman has put her son through so much stress. She put him
okay,
through so
Vanessa.
Much stress. She put us through so much stress. She hated me so much that my husband used to cry. My husband used to be so depressed about this woman. She never supported my husband in the United States Navy. She said, you ain't no American. I don't care. All of them, they never supported him. None of them. All the cousins
okay.
and all the aunts
okay,
and everyone that's
has,
talking.
Okay. Vanessa.
I was going to get that out there, Rachel, because I wasn't going
to
stay on the air and not have them.
Okay, I need
Rachel,
you to take
Rachel, she did me wrong just now, and I wasn't going to take it.
Okay, but Let me ask you one question. One question.
Yes, ma'am.
How would Kevin feel about what's being done right now and what's being said between the two women that are the most loved in his life? How would he feel right now with all this going on?
Mom, please, she's the love of my life. Leave her alone. She's the best thing ever happened to me, Mom. Why can't you just accept her, Mom? I love you, Mom, but I will not tolerate you doing this to my wife. That's what Kevin
okay,
would
and
say.
How would he
please,
feel how would he feel about how would he feel about you being so extreme to his mother?
He
how
will
would
say,
he like
babe,
that?
I understand. I understand, babe, you have a right because she's telling me my daughter, who I love more than anything in this world, is not my daughter. Are you serious? That's what he would say. In fact, Kevin walked away. He didn't talk to his mother for at least a few months because last August that's what she said, and it's devastated to him. So he will give me check, check, check. Because he knows I'm not a disrespectful lady. He knows what his mother has done to our life. She would not let him be happy. If he had a voice today to speak right this moment to you, he would say, Rachel, that woman, stand by me. My mom is so wrong. In fact, I'm going to put the letter out on the Internet because it's the truth I'm speaking.
Okay. I have two last questions for you, and then I'm going to go back to his mom. And I'm going to go back to his friends and let them have a few minutes on the air. If
so
you can
are
say
you,
one
my
thing.
Daughter has something to read. I would prefer her to read that in
oh,
the time.
Okay.
Because I think
so,
my daughter is the most important person here. Kevin, mom didn't sleep, live and drink,
okay,
and sleep with him.
Whoa.
It's his mom.
Okay.
But that's,
okay.
That's what
okay.
she had.
Vanessa.
Hold on, Rachel. Rachel, no,
let's
I just feel like you
air.
Are being biased here. I really see in that.
No,
I understand.
I'm not.
But I feel
I'm
you are being biased.
Favor.
And you know this what. Journey?
I am giving rebuttal.
Yes, ma'am. Are you going to
I feel everyone has a voice here. I am not on anyone's side besides
yeah.
Kevin. And our deal
you should have
is that
a, you
we
should
find
have
Kevin.
A voice of love. Love should make you want to find your son. So you shouldn't hang up on Vanessa. You
okay.
shouldn't call
okay,
her
we've
daughter
got 2 minutes.
That's
we've
the
got
truth.
2 minutes. Let me hear
you
from...
You kidding me?
No, this show went quick. We've got 2 minutes. Let me hear from our beautiful little girl, please.
Mama, Journey, are you going to say what you have to say in that letter? You have to because she only has 2 minutes. Where's your letter? Can you come out and get it, please? Come on, sweetie, please.
And she doesn't have to.
You don't
if
want
she doesn't
to?
Want to, that's okay. That's up to her.
Hey, Rachel, while you're doing that, let me butt
she
in
She did
quick.
Want to.
Quiet.
She
no.
actually did want
ahead,
to, but
Nick.
Kevin Mom, if Kevin
Nick
Mom is more important,
show.
That's fine. I can put her letter on the Internet because my little girl who left her daddy, she want to. She just didn't expect for it to be now, so she went into the shop, and that is okay. You know what I mean? Journey Mom
okay.
is
well,
fine.
Vanessa,
it's
thank
not
you.
A big deal. I have...
I would love to have you on the show again because we need to have fairness in all of this, and everybody needs to have a voice. My co-host has been listening this whole time. Nick, go ahead.
I have. I was taking care of some other stuff. I think both ladies in this man's life love and care for their child or their husband, respective situation. The key that I want and that everybody to understand is that myself and Rachel and the crews that we work with, we want what is best for Kevin at this time. The only way to tell that and the only way to get that is each side just be honest, truthful, and let's get the true message out. From my times of doing this and my times of looking for people and helping people, as long as the animosity is there, that we're never going to get to the bottom of it. And I'm not taking sides by any means. I don't want anybody to think that I'm taking any sides. If anybody's side that I'm taking other than Kevin is the children. That's the only
yeah.
side I'm going to take on this. But for the simple
yes,
fact,
sir.
I've been away from my kids. They need dad in their life. Regardless of who's right or who's wrong or who don't like who, let's think about it. Let's come back to another show, and let's be peaceful and tell honest and truthful
both sides of the story on both sides.
And keep to our facts. We've got 20 seconds left. We need to keep to the facts, get our emotions in check, and make this happen. There's so many people out there that love him so much, and we need to pull everybody together. With that being said, we are off the air at this point. It's been an extraordinary show, and we invite his friends, his coworkers, his family. We love you all. Vanessa, we love you too. Sometimes it gets a little emotional on our show. Sometimes it gets intense. But like Nick and I said, we are here for Kevin. We are here for those kids, and we're here for the facts, and we're here for the truth. And with that being said, thank you, Nick, for being on the show with me tonight. Thank you to Kevin's mother, an extraordinary lady, wonderful. She said that Kevin would never leave his family, meaning Vanessa and that baby. Had nothing but good things to say. Vanessa, I know that you're having a very difficult time. I'm not trying to be biased. I'm trying to get facts, and sometimes that seems like that. With that being said, good night, everyone. We'll see you next week, Nick and Rachel, with another show, and be looking for it. Thanks for joining us. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.